listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Jim Hansen, and I'm joined by Samuel Bendit, a defense and foreign policy analyst here in the D.C. area. Sam, I wanted to ask you about the bear, Russia. Our good friend Vlad the Impaler Putin seems to be back in the old game of Russia as a dominant power, rebuilding an empire, trying to basically reassert themselves on the stage. And I wanted to get your opinion about how much of that might be internal politics and how much is an actual move by them to be a global player and to be a superpower, I think, is the goal for Putin from my perspective. What do you think?
I think Russia always had this plan all along. In 1991-92, Russia assumed the mantle of Soviet Union. Now, to them, it meant they assumed responsibilities that Soviet Union had on the global stage, which included all manner of involvement in various economic, political, and other developments. United States, for a long time, assumed that Russia, without Soviet Union, would remain a regional power. But Russians never thought of themselves as just another regional power confined to the borders of the Russian Federation. To them, they always thought of themselves as going forward and doing the same things that Soviet Union used to do, perhaps on a different level and with different partners. So it's not that they are returning to the global stage. They've been at the global stage, maybe not as actively as the United States and some of its other political international partners, but they've always been there. And so for them, it's almost natural to essentially continue with the policies that forward Russian interests internationally, beyond the borders of Soviet Union and beyond the immediate borders of Eurasia, as we're now observing in Syria.
This is Jim Hansen, and we're talking with Samuel Bendit, who is a defense and foreign policy analyst. And I wanted to ask you, you wrote a piece about how Vladimir Putin talks about autonomy for some of the former Soviet republics. And I'm curious what your thoughts are about whether or not he has an interest in bringing them back into some sort of orbit with Russia, whether it's an alliance, a partnership, or whether, like the Crimea, they become part of Russia again. What do you see his views and his potential moves in that direction?
Well, I think Russia always considered former Soviet and Russian imperial space as one space tied together economically, socio-ethnically, religiously, because so many Russians settled in the territories which have now become independent states. So when Putin talks about the breakup of Soviet Union as one of the big tragedies of the 20th centuries, he's referring to the fact that what appears to him as a natural entity was forcefully broken up without any foresight or without any long-term plan. And certainly in the early 90s, it felt like that comment was justified because new independent states plunged into economic, socio-political, and even military turmoil. And so he sees these small states, especially those in the Caucasus, for example, Armenia, states like Moldova, which is separated from Soviet Union, from Russia by Ukraine and Romania, states like Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, which have always struggled to maintain sort of independent economic and other policies and were dependent on Soviet Russia for all manner of resources. He considers their closer ties to future Russian state as normal and natural. Now, obviously, many of these smaller independent republics don't think so, but there's a lot of people within Russia who thought that Russian investment in building up and developing these regions economically should be justified by a greater cohesion amongst them in some kind of new political and economic entity. And certainly his push for an economic union is a step in that direction. Ukraine, Belarus, Russia, and Kazakhstan were tied together most closely in the Soviet Union through various social, economic, and other means, not the least of which were transportation corridors. when those ties were severed, everyone suffered. A lot of those newly independent states suffered most of all. Now, a lot of them have since recovered. A lot of them have rebuilt their infrastructure. A lot of them have reoriented themselves towards new economic partners, perhaps Europe, perhaps China, maybe even the Middle East. But to Russia, this enormous investment that took place centuries through transfer of talent, capital, through military campaigns cannot be for naught. And therefore, Putin sees Russia as the epicenter of the new entity that would essentially be a unique Eurasian state. And that's exactly what the Eurasian Union is. In his eyes, in the eyes of his government, it is not just an economic union, but some kind of a new civilizational union to compete with Asia and China, with West and the United States, and other entities around the world.
That seems to be the goal, and I think he's made that clear. Obviously, they took Crimea back. They are, you know, in the process of working on Ukraine in a number of ways, whether it's an attempt to take them over, whether it's an attempt to leverage them, as you said, back into some sort of larger economic slash political slash cultural partnership. And I don't know that there's any of us, you know, any of the forces of the West that have shown any interest in slowing that down to the extent that Putin's willing to do it. And that's really the scary part.
We've certainly done that on a very small scale, for example, with Baltics. It was easier to do so with the Baltic states of Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, because on a pure regional and political and even civilizational levels, those states were never really part of the Russian sphere. They were always part of Europe, whether under Swedish influence, under German influence, and their separation from Soviet heritage was the fastest. Again, not without problems, not without economic issues, and not without rising socio-ethnic tensions, but their separation was the easiest, but on a much smaller scale. Apart from that, the United States would have had to invest heavily in essentially kind of a new nation-building set of programs dealing with those newly independent states politically, trying to open them up. Not just economically, but also socially, making sure that democratic principles would take root over the past two decades so that people would start believing that a new alternative democratic Western system would work. Now, again, there were programs like that managed by State Department, managed by U.S. Agency for International Development, managed by their European counterparts, but this is a long-term process. It takes a lot of money, it takes a lot of influence, and it doesn't happen overnight. I think one of the biggest issues and misconceptions in the early 90s in the West, and especially in Washington, D.C., was that Russian people, former Soviet people, would immediately take up a new alternative political system of democracy as something that would work better for them. Now, generational changes and personal preferences take a long time to develop. For some people, this change happened very quickly. For many others, it's still taking place. So thinking that former Soviet states would suddenly become open and democratic virtually in the span of a decade was probably one of the biggest misconceptions. It wasn't a wrong assumption, but perhaps the timing was wrong. Maybe it won't take place in a decade. Maybe it should take place over a biblical period of about two generations.
Well, I tell you what, it would be a shame for those no longer under the Russian boot to be drawn back into that because we don't do what we can to foster that or at least to slow down Putin's ambitions. Sam Bendit, we are greatly appreciative of your informative analysis of the Russian ambitions. Up next, we'll be talking with Joseph Heumeier, Executive Director at the Center for a Free Society. This is Jim Hansen, and you're listening to Secure Freedom Radio.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.